testify. Come up in the spot looking extra.
You're listening
fly.
To the Paul Kirkland Show.
For the day I die.
On News Talk
I'm
STL.
A Texas guy. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly.
For the day welcome to the Paul Kirkland Show here on News Talk STL. In the studio this afternoon with Leah. And a very special guest that I'm going to be introducing here in just a minute. But for those that are on Highway 44 right now, struggling to make it from Eureka to wherever it is you're headed in the eastbound lanes, I feel ya. Theo and I were on our way into the studio this morning. Traffic, bumper to bumper. Mm-hmm. My GPS told me that I was going to be 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes late altogether from when I had originally planned to be here. But Theo pulls out his GPS and beep, boop, beep. Next thing you know, well, we have been able to cut down the time and we got right back on track by finding a shortcut through.
You didn't think to check the GPS before you left?
No, I didn't because I know how to get here. I don't always feel the need. I only feel the need to check the GPS at this point. Like if I know where I'm going, I'll check the GPS if I'm starting to run into traffic. But if I know where I'm going...
That's my phone.
Okay. I'm looking around for
Tony.
My phone.
Tony.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey,
he's
Tony.
He's interrupting our show.
Hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff that we're going to get to today. We have another endorsement, a pretty important endorsement, a valuable endorsement in the U.S. Senate race here in Missouri. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. We're going to talk a little bit about this shooting that took place in Texas, this tragedy that took the lives of, I think the last time I saw the count, it was at 20. I don't know if it's gone up to 21 or 22, but I know that there were several people injured, so that death count could continue to rise a little bit. But we have a tale of two solutions. We have people in the government, we have activists calling for one solution, we have some other people who have some other ideas about what the underlying root cause of these tragedies are, and guess what? They don't believe the underlying root cause is actually the guns themselves. They think there's something deeper than that we need to be addressing. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. In the third segment today, we're going to play the game that we began playing last week, The Bee or Not the Bee. And this is a game that Leah and I played last week where I read off a number of headlines and she had to guess whether the headline was from the Babylon Bee. In other words, was it a fake headline or was it not the Bee? Was it a real headline? And as crazy as the world is that we're living in today, anything could be real.
Yeah.
And last week, Leah, I think you only got, how many did you get right?
I think one.
One. You got one right. But that doesn't speak to, you know, your knowledge. It just speaks to the crazy world we live in. But right now, I want to talk to my good friend, our special guest today on the Paul Kirkland Show here at News Talk STL. I want to talk to our special guest, Theo Clausen. Theo is a friend of mine. I met Theo several years ago. He has been to our Defense of Liberty events. Definitely a lover of freedom and not originally from America. Originally, Theo, from Holland. Tell us a little bit. Just tell us a little bit about your story. Just go ahead and get right up into the microphone and tell us what is it that brought you to the U.S.? How did you eventually arrive here? And let's just kind of start right there. And kind of along the way, I might ask you some more questions just to carry the discussion forward. But let's start off with why you left Holland and what brought you to the U.S.
Definitely the land of opportunity. That's what I saw. You know, whatever you want, go get it. That's what America's about. You know, I couldn't do that in my country, but I just loved America. I mean, the law, I definitely love the law. I like the strict law.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I liked. You know, police are very strict in Holland. You can do whatever you want and you get away with it then, you know. But anyhow, I just loved America.
Just loved it. Mm-hmm. Would you say in Holland, would you say that people over in Europe still kind of have like a vision of what America is?
Not really. I mean, there's so many things. I thought like the KKK, I thought it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like history, but it still exists today. I never found out till I was here.
Yeah.
You know, but...
One thing that... maybe get a little bit closer to your microphone if you can. One thing, you can move the mic too. You can move it anywhere you want. One thing that I thought was interesting when we were on our way to the studio this morning, we were talking about driver's license and you were talking about the difference between Holland and the U.S. And this might, I think this kind of goes into what you're speaking towards. You said that in Holland, it's like a huge process. It takes months and months. You got checks and all kinds of things that you have to, hoops you got to jump through. But in the U.S., it's just a matter of basically showing up at a office and taking a little test and then bam, driver's license. What is it like in Holland just to get something? Like here, it seems like such a simple thing to get a driver's license. What is the deal in Holland? And is that kind of how it is in other things, in things that we kind of can do really easily? Is it much more of a process over there?
Oh, yeah. It takes, for some people, it takes years to really get your driver's license. You make a test, you fail, you got to do it all over again. And it takes years for some people to just get a driver's license. And it costs a ton of money. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of dollars to just get your driver's license.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. I think a lot of people in the U.S. really take for granted how easy
things are.
Yeah, how easy things. And I've heard like a lot of people on the left always say we need to be more like these countries in Europe. We need to be more like Holland or Sweden, or and probably never even realize how difficult it is to do some things that here we just take for granted because our freedom affords us an opportunity to do something easily, quickly, something like getting a driver's license.
Yeah.
So when did you come to the U.S.?
1996.
96?
Yeah.
Okay. And so since you came to the U.S., has everything been sunshine and roses for you?
No. It changed a lot. I believe for the worst.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. In America, everything is going downhill since I remember. You know, it was pretty good 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of
changes. You're talking about the change. So the observations as somebody who came here as an immigrant, the changes that you've seen are changes that you don't agree with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't agree with.
For example, like what do you see changing that you say that would make you say, this is not good. I've seen this before. This is something I've experienced in my home country in Holland. What kind of things is it that, what kind of direction is America taking right now?
I don't believe in the legalizing drugs, no matter what it is. I mean, I did them all, I told you. And, you know, drugs is something I did a lot. I mean, tried all different kinds, and now it's almost illegal. You get away with it easy carrying when you have, like, cocaine or something. They give you, like, a little ticket. And, you know, 25 years ago, it was a little different than today, though. I mean... So
did you do drugs in Holland and when you were in America?
No, I never did any drugs in America, but I did in Holland. It was legal then, the marijuana. They got the coffee shops and that kind of stuff. So it's different, though, you know. I don't agree with legalizing even marijuana. I know what it does to you, you know. It's a mellow downer, and it's just my opinion.
You just rather us not legalize it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before it's kind of a pro and con to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can legalize marijuana, and then as soon as you legalize it, bam, you take away a lot of the power from the cartels and from these underground criminal elements because they're not criminals anymore, and they might not have their hooks in people like they used to. But on the flip side of that, you've just made something that was, you know, if you wanted access to this drug, you had to find your way into it, and that alone could cause you problems as you're trying to find those people that could sell to you, the criminals to sell to you.
Yep.
But then it would just be much wider open access.
Yeah. I ended up living on the street. I mean, you know.
In the U.S.?
In Holland.
Oh, in Holland.
You know, because of doing the drugs. I mean, it's destructive, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a drug? Do you think that in Holland, would you say that because it's so legal and the access is so easy for people to have to do? And is it any drugs? Is it just marijuana or is it almost any drug?
No, I think it's only marijuana.
Only marijuana? You know? Do you think that that's had a negative effect on the people in Holland?
I really don't know. I mean, I was living in a little town. I mean, I don't live in Amsterdam itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where I really... You got to speak English and able to, you know, everybody able to communicate because everybody from the world goes to Amsterdam because it's legal, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can smoke whatever you want when you want. So, but it will bring you down eventually. I mean, marijuana too. That's just what I believe, you know, in the long run. I mean, you're not really 100% there, you know,
and
in reality. I mean...
And another question that I'd like to kind of get your take on, you know, in the U.S. here, we have these two major political parties. Mm-hmm. You got the Republicans, you got the Democrats. And we've talked about this a little bit over the years. But you have a much different perspective than most people in the U.S. about how dangerous the left can be.
Yeah.
You know, and so do you see similarities when you look at the direction that Holland or the direction that some of these other European countries have gone? Do you see parallels to the agendas from our political parties, and which party is more likely to take us down that road that we've seen some of these countries in Europe go down?
I really don't know. I mean, I didn't even know what the difference was between a Democrat and Republic 5 years ago, mm-hmm. or 6 years ago, right? When Trump and Hillary were running together, I didn't even know the difference till I met a guy, a good friend of mine. He actually started talking about it, so that's when I know the difference. I didn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I was not involved at all.
Yeah. You know?
But today, it's a whole different. But I don't agree what they do, of course, you know, but there's nothing I can do.
And what's the biggest issue you think? Like you said a few minutes ago, that over the last 25 years, you know, you've seen America go in a direction that you don't like, what is the biggest issue or the biggest one or two issues from your perspective, somebody who's come to this country, you've had an opportunity to live in a more liberal European country versus the U.S., and you've had 25 years now to kind of see the trajectory that the country's going, the different issues that have carried us. What would you say would be some of those issues that we all need to be more mindful of and be watching out for, things that could take us in a really dark direction really fast?
Corruption. I mean, there's a lot of corruption going on, I believe, in this country today. So many things, Paul. I mean, I don't even know what to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I don't know, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well,
I think we all know, but I don't know at the moment.
Well, let's go ahead and move the conversation then into some of the issues that we've seen capture some of the headlines here recently.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go ahead and play. I was thinking about doing this in the next segment. We'll go ahead and get started right now. What does our time look like, Leah, for this segment?
You've got about 3-4 minutes.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started on the first clip. So just to back up a little bit and kind of maybe set up the next segment, we have had issues with school shootings in America since really almost as long as I can. I don't want to say as long as I can remember, because I don't remember this being an issue in the 80s. I don't remember this being an issue really in the early 90s, but really since Columbine. And I remember Columbine happened in April of, I think, maybe 1998, if I remember correctly. Maybe 97, but I think it was 1998. And, you know, you got these two shooters that walked into their high school, and they start shooting up students in a library, students in the cafeteria. I can't remember how many people were killed. It was several people killed. And the images that captured the news cycle that were constantly being replayed for weeks, because this is the first time I think that the U.S. had really seen from start to finish. The reports were hitting the news wires while the shooters were still in the building. Everybody zeroed right in. And we were watching live on television from helicopters as students are running out, single file, running out of the schools. Nobody knows what's going on. We find out that it's two boys, each of them armed to the teeth, and just walking in, and they weren't necessarily indiscriminately killing. They were looking for certain types of people that they wanted to shoot, but it seemed kind of random, and probably some of those people that were killed randomly. But they also had videos. They had also had journals. They had conversations with people, like really, really dark stuff. So this, for anybody paying attention to the Columbine massacre, it should not have been that big of a surprise, because these two kids, their minds were in a very dark place, and they didn't keep it private. They kept it between the two of them, between each other, but they also had discussed things with other students. They had written things. They had posted. They had created. They'd made videos. They'd made videos of them in the woods, and they had showed these things to other people. So there is an issue going on right now, and of course, you have the left and the right, and right away, everything kind of seems to center around the guns. And I think I have a reason for why it centers around the guns versus the other issues. All these other variables that play into why this happens, it seems like the number one thing that rises to the surface that everyone wants to talk about are the guns. The guns, the guns, the guns. I believe I know why it's the guns. I think I know why that's the top of the list in terms of what we're talking about, what our conversation is. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the guns. There's a lot more variables. We're going to have two sound clips that we're going to play when we come back in the second segment that perfectly illustrate the difference between the left and not even the left and the right, but even deeper than that, what it is that the left and the right are missing. And when I say the left and the right, I'm not talking about just your average Joe. I'm talking about the politicians, the people that are competing for power and are capitalizing on situations like this to push an agenda. There's another issue here. There's something much, much deeper. We're going to get back to that when we come back. We're going to ask Theo's thoughts on that and Leah's thoughts on this when we come right back. Paul Kirkman Show here at News Talk STL.
I got to testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'm a touch the sky.
This is the Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL. Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirkman.
No, I'm not gonna lie, cause I'm killing your vibe, I'm a radical.
Conditions of poverty.
I think we have to look at the way we organize society. I think that when you have centralized elite institutions that issue doctrine and dictates without necessarily being affected by the results of the decisions they make, it creates a kind of maddening, desperate society. This is symptomatic of a deeper malaise, horrific though it is. For me, it thematically fits in with the general breakdown of our society, with the ongoing conflict and conflagration. I don't think we should be looking to blame any individual or group for this horrific event. I think we should turn our attention to healing. On both sides of the cultural argument at the moment, people are full of sturm and drang and fury and condemnation. These people are to blame. These people are to blame. We're all participating in this society. One way or another, we've made our way here together.
Okay, so that was Russell Brand speaking on the tragedy that happened in Texas just this last week with the school shooting in which several young, very young children were killed in cold blood along with their teachers. And Russell Brand is saying something. Now, listen, I want to be very clear. I know that Russell Brand is a liberal. I know he's on the left. I know that. But Russell Brand also has a little bit more ability to reason through the issues and look past the talking points that liberal elites are trying to pass out to people in order to steer the conversation towards one agenda or another. Okay, he's much more independent. And so what he's speaking to, he said something really, really interesting here. You've got Joe Biden and you got Democrats, you got people on the left saying, we just need, it's all about the guns. Guns, 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 guns. Guns are killing people. Guns are killing people. We need to pass gun control laws. We need to get guns out of the hands of people because that's the only way we're ever going to stop this problem, which that is not true. Mm-mm. Okay, because you're talking about guns killing people. If you want to stop guns from killing people, yeah, ban all the guns, destroy all the guns. However, my guess is you're still going to have a problem with people killing people. Yeah. And we've seen this in places like Australia. We've seen it in places like Japan where guns are illegal and still they find a way to mass kill other people, right? With knives, with machetes. We've seen this. I was telling Theo when we were on our way into the studio that I did a little operation in Central America when I was serving in the Marine Corps, and the guns are illegal in the country that I was in. But I still managed to make my way into a conversation with somebody. I don't want to say too many details, but I still managed to make my way into a conversation with somebody who was showing me a Colt 45, nickel-plated Colt 45, and put it in my hands so I could buy it. This is in a country where guns are illegal. Across the board, guns are illegal. So you're still going to have a problem with people that want to kill people. They will find a way to kill people, right? But the thing is the left, the Democrats, what Joe Biden wants to do. I'm going to play this clip from Joe Biden real quick. I'll play it from my computer here, if that's all right. Leah, here we go. This is Joe Biden speaking about the same issue, taking a completely different perspective than Russell Brand. And then I want to get back to what Russell Brand said.
And we must ask, when in God's name will we do what needs to be done to, if not completely stop, fundamentally change the amount of the carnage that goes on in this country? To state the obvious, and Corey and a lot of other people here, I'm sick and tired. I'm just sick and tired of what's going on. It continues to go on. I spent my career as chairman of the Judiciary Committee and as vice president working for common sense gun reforms. As I said, as a senator and a vice president. While they clearly will not prevent every tragedy, we know certain ones will have significant impact and have no negative impact on the Second Amendment. Second Amendment is not absolute. When it was passed, you couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't own certain kinds of weapons. It's just always been limitations.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. I want to start with the last thing that President Biden said. He said when the Second Amendment was passed, you couldn't own certain types of weapons. I would really like somebody in the news media to fact check that. Here's what I do know. I do know that when the Second Amendment was passed, the federal government was not prohibiting anybody from owning any kinds of weapons. He goes on, he says you couldn't own a cannon. The federal government did not have any cannon bans. They did not have any cannon control laws. The federal government did not do any of that. And my guess is that neither did the states at the same time. So President Biden, as he always does, continues to spout off from the mouth, shoot from the lip in his mind, which is just not there these days. I think we can chalk this one up to another gaffe. The federal government was not banning people from owning cannons. The federal government was not banning people from owning any kind of guns. This is something relatively new. This is something that the federal government has been wanting to do for the last several decades, is implement gun control laws. And the reason is because Biden and the Democrats, they believe that the way you stop these tragedies, he goes on, he says, I've been wanting to do something. I was on the House Judiciary Committee. I was the vice president trying to get these guns out of the hands of people because we got to do what has to be done to stop these tragedies from happening. So his sole focus here is just on guns. Guns, 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 guns. Guns are responsible for these types of tragedies. However, when you look deeper into the issue, you'll find that there's an underlying cause that makes somebody want to kill other people. There's something out there. There's something going on deeply, deeply sinister and disturbing, not just in the minds of some of these mass killers. Everyone likes to say, oh, it's a mental health issue. I'm not even sure it's all a mental health issue. Listen, people, you need to understand there are people out there that are just evil. And they're not mentally ill. Just because they're evil doesn't mean they're mentally ill. Just because they're evil doesn't mean that the gun is controlling them and making them go out and kill. They're just evil. They're just evil. There's bad people out there and they want to do evil things because they are evil. So I'll be honest with you. I'm really getting sick and tired of the people that are trying to walk the fence here, the middle of the road, and say, oh, it's a mental health issue. It's a mental health issue. There's no doubt in my mind some of these people have some serious mental problems, but we need to understand that there are evil people out there. There is such a thing as truth, and there is evil, and there is good in this world. And the problem is we have politicians that don't want to focus on the evil. They want to focus on the things that allow them to leverage their way into more power and control over the people. In this case, they're looking at guns. Why is President Biden not addressing these issues? Why is Black Lives Matter not addressing the issue about the family? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because Black Lives Matter, on their actual website, I don't know if any of you guys seen this, they actually took it down a couple of years ago. I took a screenshot of it. Part of Black Lives Matter, on their website, in their, I can't remember if it's in their about page or in their mission page, they actually stated in there, they used the word dismantle, when they were talking about what they wanted to do to the family. They want to dismantle the family. The idea of the left, this whole idea that it takes a village to raise a child, it's just like President Biden. He's one of these people. He does not believe in the family. Families feed, clothe, and educate more people every single day than any government has ever been able to do in the history of the world. But still, President Biden says, no. Government's the solution to everything. You want to feed, clothe, and educate people? You want to take care of people's health? Government. I'm going to get back. I don't want to miss what this is about Russell Brand, because Theo, I'd like to have your thoughts on this. Russell Brand, in his statement, his little monologue that he had here, he was actually saying, he's not quite where I am, but he's really, really close. Russell Brand is saying, you know, everybody wants to jump out and blame somebody else or some other thing for this. He said, but there's a deeper issue here we have to start addressing. And what he says is, let's just kind of play the first part of this clip one more time. I just want to make sure we don't miss this, because he speaks specifically to the elites, the people that have centralized power, and how they're using issues like this.
I would invite you to contemplate the question, why is there so much fear? Why is there so much anxiety? Why is there so much suffering? This happened in an impoverished community, a community of 16,000 people, many of whom are living in conditions of poverty. I think we have to look at the way we organize society. I think that when you have centralized elite institutions that issue doctrine and dictates without necessarily being affected by the results of the decisions they make.
Bam, there you go. So he's talking about centralized government, people, for example, in Washington, D.C., making laws and rules, but they don't have to deal with the consequences or the fallout of the decisions that they're making. He says this happened in an impoverished area. Listen, there's lots of impoverished areas around the world where people aren't just killing each other en masse. So it's not just the fact that they were living in an impoverished area. But what he does, Russell Brand later goes on to say, after he says that we can't look to the elite centralized government for the answer here, he says we need to turn ourselves back to healing and look at what is causing this. He says this is a breakdown in society. Theo, here's a question for you. I let's have a little discussion on this, because I'm interested in kind of just your overall general thoughts on this, because we come from two different areas of life. We come from two different life experiences here. I have children of my own, mm-hmm. and you also have a child of your own. And how important do you think it is from one father to another?
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for fathers to have an active role in the home and raising their children? And do you believe, because I think that we're probably going to agree on this, that when it comes to good parenting, when it comes to parents who are interested and concerned with their children knowing the difference between good and evil and striving to do good, trying to be good, even when it means you have to sacrifice, you don't get everything you want, it's important to just be good. Fathers in the home. Do you think that that might have had a role here? We do know that this shooter in Texas, his father wasn't in the home.
No.
I think that there's an issue here that government is not looking for, because it doesn't allow politicians in Washington, D.C. to consolidate more control. Listen, when you empower families, you necessarily take power away from the family. I'm sorry. When you empower families, you necessarily take power away from the government. See how this works? When you give moms and dads the freedom to make their own decisions, government loses power. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. And so it's not just on the issue of guns. We can see the exact same thing happening in school districts across America. Parents show up at school board meetings. They show up at school board meetings and they say, hey, we don't want this critical race theory being pushed on our kids in the form of a math test, like we saw in a school district here in St. Charles. We don't want the LGBTQ+ whatever agenda. We don't want teachers coming out to my kids in a classroom. I don't want a man showing up at the beginning of the year, and then by the end of the year, he's teaching my kids, and he's wearing a dress, full beard, and lipstick. People think it's ridiculous, but it's happening all across the country. I've got pictures on my website. Go to paulkirtman.com. Go to paulkirtman.com. You'll see it. And what does President Biden say? President Biden at the Teacher of the Year ceremony at the White House last month, President Biden told the teachers, the educators who were gathered, he actually said these words. He said, these aren't somebody else's kids. These are our kids. And he was encouraging these teachers to push back against parents that want to remain that want to maintain some control over their children's education. Who works for who here? Listen, it used to be the case. People would say, teachers, a noble job, and it is a noble job, but as soon as you start infringing on the rights of parents to govern their own families and direct them into a worldview that they think is fit for them, well, then you're making a big mistake. At that point, it's not noble. At that point, you are becoming the enemy of families, and you better be careful about it. When you start taking away the power from the family, you necessarily will empower the government. We've seen it happen in school districts. We've seen it happen on all kinds of issues, every political subdivision. Russell Brand is way more spot on this issue than President Biden and anybody in office probably is, with the exception of the people that believe that in order to protect the freedom of the people and give people an opportunity and a fighting chance to protect themselves, you need to empower families. You need to have rules and laws that incentivize fathers and mothers to stay together and stay in the home rather than giving them more welfare if they're single. It's crazy. Speaking of crazy, when we come back into the next segment, we're going to read some headlines on the B or not the B. And Theo and Leah, you guys are going to compete against each other to see who can get the most headlines right. All right, we'll be right back. News Talk STL. This is the Paul Kirtman Show.
You're listening to The Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL.
All right, and welcome back to The Paul Kirtman Show here on News Talk STL. Do me a favor, if you want to follow along with what we're going to be talking about, especially with what we're about ready to do next. What we're about ready to do here in just a couple minutes is we're going to play a game called The Bee or Not the Bee, in which Leah and Theo are going to guess whether or not the headlines I'm reading them are true. Are they real headlines? Or are they fake headlines from the Babylon Bee? We're going to do that here in just a minute. I do want to kind of just wrap up what we were talking about this last segment. Listen, the federal government, Thomas Jefferson once said that the natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and for government to gain ground. We are seeing an issue play out that has incredibly bloody and tragic consequences. And the politicians in the government are trying to, they think you are stupid. They think you're stupid because they want you to think that as long as we ban guns, as long as we get rid of guns, then no one's ever going to get shot by a gun again. It's just not going to happen. But you know who's going to have guns? The government's going to have guns. And everybody can talk about, well, there's not mass shootings in Australia and Japan. There's mass killings, maybe, but not mass shootings, sure. But there are still mass killings. But just during this COVID pandemic, Australia was literally rounding people up and putting them in camps, depending on their vaccination status or their COVID quarantine status or whatever. They literally built camps. This is not a conspiracy theory. We know this was happening. The police, the people with guns, are going after the people without guns. And what are you going to do? And do you really trust the government so much? When it's COVID, when it's a disaster, well, then, yeah, we're all just going to get behind the government and trust the government. Listen, the CDC has been flip-flopping on whether or not you should even be wearing a mask. And you want to trust the government? You want to trust all the talking heads? Dr. Fauci, the highest paid federal government employee, he can't even figure out whether or not you should wear one mask, two masks, or no mask at all. These are the same people. These are the same people telling you that you shouldn't have a right to defend yourself from other people that have guns. They want to ban guns. It's not the issue. It's a ploy. It's a distraction. It's a diversion. They need to focus on things like empowering families. But they won't, because when you empower families, it reduces the size and scope of the government. And it's all about control. Should families be in control? Or should the government be in control? All right. Hey, we're going to move on. And we're going to play The Bee or Not the Bee.
I'm still working on getting you a jingle.
That's going to be so great when we get it.
I know.
It's going to be so... I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like a real show. Like a real game.
I've got little ding ding and wrong answer buzzer things here, right. though.
Well, get ready to use some of these on yourself there, Leah. We're going to start. Hold on, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got 8. We have 8 headlines, and we're going to flip flop between the two of you. We're still drafting how this game's going to go. So I'm going to make a column here for Leah, and then I'm going to make a column here for Theo. I'm going to ask both of you to tell me what you think, real headline or fake headline. Okay, here's the first one. First headline is this. The author of How to Murder Your Husband has just been found guilty of murdering her husband. Is that a true headline or a fake headline? Leah, what do you think? True or false?
I think that's real.
Okay. Theo?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. Ding, ding, ding for Leah. Leah, you got it right. That is a real headline. It is true.
Really?
It is true that the author of How to Murder Your Husband has just been found guilty. She's a romance novelist from Oregon, and she wrote an essay called How to Murder Your Husband, and guess what? She murdered her husband and has just been found guilty of murdering her husband. Now, there's a law in the books that says if you commit a crime, you can't profit off of writing a book about it, but in this case, she wrote the book first. So, I don't know whether or not she's going to be able to keep that money or not. Okay, let's go back to our second headline here. So, that's 1 for Leah, 0 for Theo. Okay, here we go. Here's the headline. Obama encourages Americans to pause this Memorial Day to remember the sacrifice of George Floyd. Is that a real headline or a fake headline? Theo, this time you can go first. You think that's true or false?
Obama, it's true.
You think it's true? Leah?
Yeah, it's true. I saw it.
For both of
really?
You. You both lost. That is from the Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee wrote an article titled Obama Encourages Americans to Pause This Memorial Day to Remember the Sacrifice of George Floyd. No, it seems like some President Obama would do, but it's not true. He did not actually do that. That is a headline from the Babylon Bee. Okay. All right. So right now, Leah's in the lead with 1. Here we go. Here's the headline. Leah, you'll go first. Headline is Nancy Pelosi draws up articles of impeachment against the Pope.
Sure, I'll say that's true.
Theo, what do you think?
I think it's false.
It's false. All right, so the score now is 1-1.
I don't know what to play when one of us gets it right.
We'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. We'll have to brainstorm this a little bit more. Score now is 1-1. Here we go. Okay. Here's the headline. Hyundai recalls 239,000 cars for exploding seatbelts. Theo. True or false? Hyundai recalls 239,000 cars due to exploding seatbelts.
I think it's false.
Leah?
I guess I'll go with false.
You are both wrong. Now you can use the
really
buzzer. There we go. That is a true headline.
How does a seatbelt explode?
I don't know. The image I see is a grenade strapped onto it, but. Maybe there's a spring in there that makes the whole thing just pop apart and explode. I'm not sure, but it's true. Hyundai has recalled 239 cars because of a problem with their seatbelts exploding, as this headline says, or at least breaking apart in one way, shape, form, or fashion. Okay, let's do another couple of these. Norwegian Cruise Lines is offering a full refund if your Bermuda Triangle cruise ship disappears. Is that true or is that false? I'll read that again. Norwegian Cruise Lines is offering a full refund if your Bermuda Triangle cruise ship disappears in the Bermuda Triangle. Leah, do you think that's true or false?
I don't know. I guess I'll go with true.
I go with false.
Leah? You got it right.
Really?
Yep, that's a real headline. Norwegian headline says, hey, if your Bermuda cruise disappears in the Bermuda Triangle, we'll give you a full refund. I don't know who they're going to give it to you.
Yeah, exactly. They're not coming back.
Right now, score is two for Leah, 1 for Theo. Okay, we're going to do, we'll do maybe just one more here. Okay, here's the headline. Fisher-Price introduces My First Gender Transition playset. Is that true? Or is that false? Theo, what do you think? Fisher-Price, here's the headline. Fisher-Price introduces My First Gender Transition playset.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm going to say true, unfortunately.
Okay, okay. Well, fortunately, you are both wrong.
Oh,
Fisher-Price has not introduced a My First Gender place, My First Gender Transition playset. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Now, so that is a false headline. That is from the Babylon Bee. That is false. So today's game, Leah, you got two right. Theo got one right. And this I really like doing this, except for the fact that these headlines are so outrageous and crazy.
You don't know what to believe.
You don't know what to believe. And so you guys only got two of these right out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Out of the six that we read, Leah got two of those right. Theo got one of those right. I feel like there's like a commentary that I should have for one of my Kurtman's take on how depraved our society is that we can't tell the difference between true and false headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like that Fisher-Price headline, could be true. Could be true. It could be true tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's just pretty nutty. Leah, we got to get the game show music.
I know.
That's going to add so much to this. I'm really looking forward to whatever you come up with. Hey, for the next few days, we're going to be remembering all of those who died in service to our country on Memorial Day. I would like to encourage people to go to paulkurtman.com, go to newstalkstl.com. You can scroll through either one of those websites. You can find it also at newstalkstl.com. I think I might have just said that. But I have a commentary up on Memorial Day called Remembering the Sacrifice, and I speak specifically about a very, very young boy named Wesley who I met when I was serving in the Capitol building. It was just a terribly tragic story. But on Memorial Day, we use Memorial Day to remember the people who gave their lives in service to our country, and some of those people don't give their lives till they come home. In my squad, in my platoon, we have continued to lose Marines ever since I came back from the Marine Corps. And on Monday, on Memorial Day morning, Leah and I will be back in here hosting for Mike Ferguson on Newstalk STL. And we will be hosting from 6 to 9 a.m. And I'm going to have some Marines, some guys that I served with, maybe some that I didn't, but they're going to call in. We're going to talk a little bit about some of our brothers that we lost just as an opportunity to pay a tribute and give them some honor on Memorial Day, but at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day. Most people don't know this, but at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, that's the day across our country that we are all supposed to stop and take a moment of silence specifically to remember the fact that there are people that are gone. There are people that never came home just so we could stay here, just so we could go home, just so we could barbecue at our home, just so we could have the freedom that we have today. And so at 3 p.m., on Memorial Day, on Monday, that's the moment that you should stop whatever you're doing and remember exactly what Memorial Day is for and all those families that have lost loved ones, and they themselves are paying a little bit of that price that their family members paid because they'll never have their family come back to them again. This is Paul Kurtman on The Paul Kurtman Show right here at News Talk STL. Make sure you tune in Monday morning for me and Leah right here, 101.9.